From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the light of the world came to save men, and now men go into all the world to reach them for Christ. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Reagan Republican, and Christ follower. I want to begin this weekend's show with a reminder that you have one more week to join us in our matching challenge, where your gift will be doubled through the end of the year. Here at Family Research Council, we are in the fight here on Capitol Hill. Will you help us defend life and the free exercise of our faith? You can join the special matching challenge by simply heading over to tonyperkins.com and clicking on the link. I hope your Christmas was a happy one. Here at the Salkeld House, we gathered the kids from near and far to share food, gifts, and to reflect on the miracle of God's gift of a Savior. And one of our calls as Christians is to reach others for Christ. For most of us, that call is primarily to our neighbors, our community, and maybe even our state. Others are called to serve in other countries far from home. But today, we're going to focus on a man and his family who serve in war zones across the globe. Dave Eubank is a former U.S. Army Special Forces Ranger officer. He is the founder and director of the Free Burma Rangers. They're a humanitarian service movement for the oppressed ethnic minorities of all races and religions in Burma, Iraq, Kyrgyzstan, Syria, and Sudan. Along with humanitarian relief, Dave's personal mission is to reach others with the love of Christ. Here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins speaking with Dave Eubank, who joined us from Burma.
Dave, welcome so much to, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome.
Tony, thank you, and we love the Family Research Council and all y'all do.
Well, we have a shared mission and purpose to give people everywhere the freedom to believe and have a choice to choose Christ and to choose to follow God. And you've been doing that all around the world, especially in some of the most difficult places. You've served, as I mentioned, in different parts of the world, including Iraq, Kurdistan, and northeast Syria in particular as of late. Can you tell us some of your experiences with our Christian brothers and sisters in the Middle East and what things look like for them during this Christmas season?
Well, in the Middle East, we were invited to help the Kurds against ISIS initially, and we actually didn't see that many Christians because they've already fled. But then in the Battle of Mosul, I remember going into, we finally got on the western side of the Tigris. There was an area called Hawi Kenisa, Kenisa's church, the area of the church, all gone. Everyone had fled. Christians could not survive there. But then going into Syria, there are Christians, there's still a small pocket left in northeast Syria. There's some in western as well, but in northeast Syria. And there's the remnants of the Orthodox Church, the Syriac Church. Many of them fled Turkish genocide from the 1900s down into Syria and started churches there. But along with these old churches with some wonderful history and people, there are also emerging churches that we've been in relationship with. People who fled ISIS in 2014 and 15 sheltered in neighboring countries, Iraq and Turkey, in churches, came to the Lord, some of them had visions of Jesus, and the kind you hear about, and then came back and started churches in Syria again, in northeast Syria. And then in the capital of ISIS, what used to be the capital of ISIS, Raqqa, we're helping rebuild an Armenian apostolic church. And so there's many kinds of Christians in northeast Syria that we've been working with.
Yeah, you had spent 18 years helping thousands of Burmese people displaced by the Burma Army, when in 2015 you heard the cries for help in Mosul, where a fierce nine-month battle to retake the city from ISIS left thousands dead and millions displaced. In fact, you were one of the first humanitarian groups to aid civilians in Mosul. You tell the story in the book that I mentioned, Do This for Love, Free Burma Rangers in the Battle of Mosul. Your story was also showcased this year in a documentary titled Free Burma Rangers. When you were going in, it was not long after more than 100,000 Christians were driven from Iraq's Nineveh Plains by the Islamic State in the summer of 2014. Can you tell us what it was like for the Christians that were left there as survivors?
Well, you know, when I first got to Kurdistan, northern Iraq, right next to Mosul, actually we stayed with Christian refugees that had fled the end of their homes. And then we went in, and in the Battle of Mosul, there are very few Christians left. If you stay there, you die. And at first, what ISIS did was most Christians left, and the few that were there, the churches were shut down, their work was shut down, and it was attacked by ISIS. And then some were killed, and then the rest of them fled. There's almost no Christians left in Mosul itself. And just outside Mosul, places like Karakosh, Barcelona, some Christians have gone back and started rebuilding the church. But there's no way you could live under the caliphate. They would first catch you, set everything down, and then come around and kill you. And so it was, to me, hell on earth. With ISIS running everything, if you're a Christian, you're going to die. And the same with your Jew. So I think there's like 8 Jews left in Baghdad, for example. And Christian population, maybe a couple hundred thousand out of over a million before in Iraq. And most of these have fled to Europe or other countries, some to America. Many of them are in refugee camps. The Kurds shelter many of them. But it must be a horrible situation when you're serving the Lord and you have to say to God, what happened? And I remember that, you know, Jesus was a refugee. Mm-hmm. His family took him, fled to Egypt, crossed another country to hide from oppression. So it's not him. But God always takes care of his people, always brings something back. Yeah. And evil cannot triumph in the end.
For those who believe and obey. Dave Eubank, we're up against a break. Stick with us. Folks, thanks so much for joining us on this Christmas Eve. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter or Parler, it's at TPerkins. We will continue this Christmas Eve edition of Washington Watch right on the other side of this break. Don't go away. Still more Washington Watch to come.
You can find out more about Dave Eubank and the Free Burma Rangers when you visit TonyPerkins.com. And don't forget that you can participate in our generous matching challenge when you visit TonyPerkins.com. Donate before December 31st, and your gift will be doubled. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com.
In a recent poll, it was revealed that only 6% of Americans hold a biblical worldview. This research also indicated that Christianity's teachings on abortion, marriage, and homosexuality are not only misunderstood, but seen as dangerous and subversive. In response to this trend, Family Research Council has released a new set of resources in our Biblical Worldview series. In addition to our full publications, which cover the topics of Christian political engagement, abortion, religious liberty, and human sexuality, FRC now offers helpful summaries of each publication in this series, as well as accompanying prayer guides to help you and your family pray through these important issues. And finally, our popular Biblical Principles for Political Engagement is now available in Spanish. All these resources are free and available at frc.org/worldview. Again, that's frc.org/worldview.
What's on your daily or weekly reading list? Are you looking for honest and informative commentary from fellow believers on the current issues facing our culture? Family Research Council has just the thing. Check out FRC's blog at frcblog.com. The content on our blog is written by our policy experts as well as outside contributors. On our blog, you can read about a wide variety of topics, including religious liberty, life, marriage, family, sexuality, public policy, and the culture. Read up on some of our latest titles like 4 Disturbing Trends in Religious Freedom Worldwide, Legitimizing Looting Jeopardizes Liberty for All, The Media Still Doesn't Get It, Conservatives Tend to Vote Conservative, and more. At Family Research Council, our mission is to advance faith, family, and freedom in the culture by helping you live out your faith and to stand for truth. Our blog is here to help you do that. Stay informed and get the resources you need at frcblog.com.
Aw, man.
What's wrong?
I just missed Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and our congressman was going to be on the show today.
Oh, that's not a big deal.
What do you mean?
Well, you can always catch the replay of the day's show.
How's that?
With the Stand Firm app.
Yeah?
Yep, you can catch that day's program and so much more. You can contact your elected officials on campaigns and policies that are important to you with the Take Action tab. You can listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins live and play previous episodes while conveniently going about your day. You can access the Washington Update, informative blogs, tweets, and critical campaigns on the main feed, so you can stay up to date on local and national news.
Wow, I definitely use that. How do you find the app?
Just visit frc.org/app and download, or search Stand Firm in the App Store.
Okay, that's Stand Firm.
Yep, Stand Firm.
How do you know all this?
Because I'm a SageCon, but that's another story.
Huh?
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. We're continuing the conversation Tony Perkins had with Dave Eubank, the founder and director of Free Burma Rangers. They're a humanitarian group who ministers to oppressed ethnic minorities in the Burma, Iraq, Kyrgyzstan, Syria, and Sudan war zones. Here's Tony Perkins.
Dave, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Tony. We love the Family Research Council. And you know, one thing I was thinking, Tony, families are everywhere in the world. They're in every war zone. And so I'm so glad you're not limited.
Yeah, we take our message everywhere, as you do, where the need is the greatest. And I want to step back for just a moment. We're talking about some of the work you've been doing in the Middle East, but you your wife and your three children have kind of grown up as a part of this mission work. Let me ask you this: what prompted you originally to step into dealing with these crisis situations and helping refugees?
Well, I feel it was God. It's God's call. And first out of the army to serve him in a different way. And then when I was in seminary, there was a tribe in Burma called the Wa tribe of Northern Burma. It's back in 1993 that said, please come and help us. And Burma's a 70-year running civil war. And so I went, my wife and I are married, and we went, and we've been there over 20 years. And we started the Free Burma Rangers a little bit after that. And while we were in Burma, we got a message from a friend of mine named Victor Marks and another lady named Beth Isaacs. Both were working in the Middle East and said, please come and help the Kurds. So we were invited to help there. And then after we were with the Kurds, people invited us to work in Mosul in that battle. And then some new believers from Syria said, please come and help us. So everything's been by, I believe, God's calling and the invitation of the local people.
Well,
especially the local church.
I've known Victor for a number of years, and I'm certain that he will get you in some interesting places to do some work as he
is. He's a good brother.
He is, and he serves as well. And I'm grateful for men and women like you that are working there on the front lines. I've traveled to many of those spots working to advance the cause of religious freedom, but you've seen it at a more granular level. Let's talk just for a moment, Dave, about Northeast Syria. That's been a focal point for the last year in particular, but longer, as there's been an outpost there in Northeast Syria of religious freedom, people who have experienced self-government, and now all of that is at risk because of what Turkey is doing as it moves into Northeast Syria.
Right. ISIS has been pretty much defeated in Northeast Syria by the Syrian Democratic Forces, which are Kurds and Christians and Arabs. And now when Turkey invaded, which was actually last year, October, November 2019, 200,000 people were displaced, and they're still displaced. And the attacks go on every day. I just came out of there last month, and there were daily attacks. We saved the life of a little kid, got his leg blown off by a Turkish mortar, and then he died later. And that's an almost everyday occurrence right now. And it's not just the Kurds and the Arabs there under attack, it's also the Christians. Before ISIS, in Northeast Syria, there's over 200,000 Syriac Orthodox Christians. Now there's less than 60,000. And then when the Turks attacked, any village that was Christian had to flee or they're gonna be killed. And so they're under even more pressure. They thought they survived ISIS, and now you have this Turk invasion. And it's not just Turkey, it's Turkey using the Free Syrian Army, a proxy, many parties, to ethnically cleanse these areas and try to take Northeast Syria. And the U.S. being there is the only thing really stopping the completion of that annihilation, and it would become a genocide.
Yeah, that's a topic I've discussed with the White House a number of times, because very concerned, because that area of northeast Syria, in to me, is a model of what self-government and religious freedom could look like in the Middle East if it were to take root and to really grow. Dave, you know, not only is this ministry in your spiritual blood, but it also is it appears to be in the blood of the family. You grew up the son of Christian missionaries in Thailand. In fact, your parents are still active in the ministry. When you're in some of these most difficult areas of the country, in fact, some of these areas is where the gospel first took root, when the disciples took the gospel there. What is it like celebrating Christmas there in the Middle East for you?
Well, you know, most of the time, because we're training our relief teams in Burma, I'm actually celebrating it in Burma, which the low drops down in the area we're in, maybe to 50 degrees. It's not that cold. But if we're out in the field, we get any tree and we decorate it with whatever we got, including sometimes shiny bullets, anything that's shiny as decoration for the tree. And we give up, make presents, and it could just be a packet of Milo or coffee mix or wrapped rice and banana leaves. And we sing carols and we read over the birth of Jesus. And then usually we graduate the teams, and then I go to the Middle East after that. But often in the Middle East, the Christmas season lasts throughout the month of December. And so you'll have different celebrations of Christmas. And to be with, you know, you're talking about Northeast Syria. That is an area that I encourage the U.S. to politically recognize, because you're right. It's a little stronghold of religious freedom. For example, not only the Syriac Christians can survive, but new believers have started new churches in Kobani, in Hasaka. Some of them were fled the Turkish invasion, became followers of Jesus right after that, and were able to start their own churches. And that's very rare in that part of the world.
Yeah, it is.
And actually, this Christmas, they're celebrating Christmas for the first time in their lives.
Yeah, it's a powerful story, and one that we, too, have encouraged the administration to support. Folks, thanks so much for being with us on this Christmas Eve edition. Dave Eubank, my guest with Free Burma Rangers, is actually joining us from Burma, just came out of Syria and back in Burma, and so you'll hear occasionally some dropout in the call. I would safely say it's a long distance call, and so, you know, technology's great, but there's always some hitches there. Hey, Dave, let me ask you about this, because many of your Free Burma Rangers are persecuted Christians from Burma. What has it been like working with them, and what have you learned from them?
Well, you know what I've learned is their situation is a lot closer to the Bible than ours in America. We're not really oppressed in America. We're the most powerful country in the world. So you can count on going to grandma's for Christmas, and no one's probably going to shoot at you, and you can do as you like. And in the Middle East, in Burma, as well as in the Middle East, for Christians, they can have their village burned on Christmas night. In fact, I was at a village that was attacked three times, burned three times. One of them was on Christmas Eve. They lost everything and fled into the jungle. But that's not that different than the early believers who were persecuted and chased. And even Jesus himself, whose parents had to take him into Egypt to flee Herod. So what it means when you're there is that you live right for the moment. And the most precious thing you have is that you know Jesus loves you, and you look to the person to your right and your left, and you say, I love you. I love you. God came to save all of us. And so it's a very intense feeling, very, very, very holy feeling wherever we have Christmas, Middle East or in Burma.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of sets me up for the next question I want to ask you about, because you did an interview earlier in the year with Christianity Today, and I mentioned this, that your wife and children are there with you wherever you go, and that you said that your children's willingness to live this wild and strange life, serving alongside you and your wife, has been, quote, the greatest gift. And you maintain that the good things far outweigh the risk and the hardship. Elaborate on that for our listeners.
Well, before we had kids, Karen and I had to decide, what if our kids died because we're working in war zones. And my wife said, Dave, we're not to live by all the bad things that could happen, but what are the opportunities that God gives us? Don't be led by comfort or fear or pride. And so as our kids were born, Peter was 3 weeks old and carried him into Burma. And the very first thing the villagers said is, oh, we have families. You brought your family. We're the same. I remember when my son was with me in Kurdistan, and the Kurdish general said, you brought your son, your most precious thing. I give you my most precious thing, my country. Or an Iraqi general saying, our families are here too. When you bring your families, that gives us hope that we count in God's eyes and in the world's eyes. And so the biggest benefit for us, though, isn't just that people love us and trust us, we can work together and they're encouraged, but we get to be together as a family. I remember my daughter, Suzanne, turning to me when we went into Sudan, Nuba Mountains. We got bombed every day. So did the kids there. And my kids are hiding with their kids. And you got to realize no parent wants their kid to die. So it's not that dangerous, actually. You go with the families will hide. My daughter, Suzanne, said, Daddy, we're not just a family. We're a team. And I think for a parent to hear your child say, Daddy, we're more than a family. We're a team. We have a common purpose. It's not so different than the people that settled America and went wagons west. They were not video game creatures. They were a young man, a young woman with a new child walking west together as a family. That's how our country was settled.
Yeah.
And that's what the world is. So my family is not there to fight in the front line, but anywhere a family is, my family will be to serve.
Yeah, that's a powerful reminder of what life is all about. It's about serving and not necessarily securing. I mean, we, especially right now, when we look at what's happening in the United States, I've talked about this frequently on the program, especially given the fact that this is the 400th anniversary of the pilgrims coming, where they came as families, just as you described. They came here risking it all as a family. In fact, only a handful of those families were not touched by death in the first 3 months that they landed there at Plymouth. But yet we fast forward to where we are today, and we've allowed the fear of a virus to grip us as such that it's paralyzed our entire country. And, you know, it just that fear is something that paralyzes, where faith and giving yourself over to something that's greater than yourself is a freeing experience.
I agree. Perfect love casts out fear. And we should not, you know, we look at things and evaluate dangers because we don't want to die or get hurt unnecessarily. But we're not to be led by comfort or fear or pride or all the what ifs that could really happen. You're led by the opportunities you have. And as a friend of mine asked me once, how do you spell faith? And I said, F-A-I-T-H. He said, no, R-I-S-K. And, you know, when a woman has a baby, that's a big risk. But without that, there's no life.
Yeah.
And this life on earth is limited anyways. You cannot hold on to it. You can spend it and give it. You cannot retain it. And so I think that in terms of the virus, it's a real and deadly problem, but we need a proportionate response. And fear has driven the United States to a disproportionate response to a real problem.
Yeah.
And so my prayer, and the enemy isn't people, the enemy is fear and Satan. And so we don't have to hate each other about it. We have to keep encouraging people to love and act courageously.
Yeah. One of my favorite quotes from history, William Wallace, one of the Scottish, led the Scottish move for independence. Every man must die, but few men really live. And I think it's as Jesus came to bring us not only life, but abundant life, is when we live in faith with him. Dave, to close out our time, we're almost out of time. Let me ask you this. I asked this of Chris Mitchell earlier. How can Christians here in the United States be praying for the brothers and sisters in those dangerous and challenging parts of the world?
I think number one is prayer. Just like the early church prayed Peter out of prison, prayer works. I don't know how it works, but prayer works. I've had that experience myself, being detained, being arrested, being captured, and people prayed me out. Really, there was no way I could get out. So pray for them. Second is pray about talking to your government representatives, because when you're in big trouble, you need prayer, but you need help.
Yeah.
And so, for example, in Northeast Syria, that the U.S. would take a more active role we cannot fix the problems of the world, but we have enough ability, especially in Syria, to set conditions where they can have an attempt to fix it. So get our government to stand with these people, the Christians and the others in Northeast Syria and Iraq and Kurdistan. So I think those two things, one is prayer and the other is action. And you can, if God leads you to donate, you can donate to organizations like the Family Research Council or other groups that are actively working to help people in those areas.
And we will encourage our folks to do just that. Dave Eubank, we thank you for joining us today, and we wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas, and we're grateful for all that you do.
Thank you, and I'm so glad God sent Jesus to save us and that we have you to help defend us.
Well, amen. Thank you, Dave.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkow, thanking you for being with us, and I want to encourage you to be back here next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Hannah.
What's going on? Why so gloomy?
Well, I'm a little disappointed. I had a lot planned to do during the stay-at-home time, and I just didn't do it.
Oh, yeah? What did you have planned that you didn't get to do?
Well, I was actually hoping I would finally be able to get time to do a regular Bible reading routine, and I started a couple of times. I just didn't stick with it.
Don't be too down on yourself. Starting a new routine can be hard, but one way to help is to join in with others and to have a good game plan. I think I have a good solution for you.
Oh, yeah?
Tony Perkins and FRC are doing a 2-year study in the Word. They have it all mapped out.
When did they start? I would be so far behind.
Oh, that's not a problem. You can literally jump in anytime. There's a daily reading, just a couple of chapters a day, with questions to help you think about what you're reading.
Nice. Where can I find this?
Go to frc.org/Bible, and you can get started.
Where's that again?
frc.org/Bible.
Got it. Checking it out now.
What's on your daily or weekly reading list? Are you looking for honest and informative commentary from fellow believers on the current issues facing our culture? Family Research Council has just the thing. Check out FRC's blog at frcblog.com. Read up on some of our latest titles like 4 Disturbing Trends in Religious Freedom Worldwide, Legitimizing Looting Jeopardizes Liberty for All, and The Media Still Doesn't Get It, Conservatives Tend to Vote Conservative, and more. Stay informed and get the resources you need at frcblog.com.